Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
This is our third and final week on Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. As I mentioned last week, there are three major sections of Scripture that deal with prophecy that every believer must know and be made aware of in order to understand prophecy in the Scripture. It's in our text in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. We must understand Revelation 6 through 19. We must also understand the prophecies of Jesus mentioned in three places. All three places are mentioning the same teachings. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21 about the end times. And everything in the end times is centered around the 70th week of Daniel, it's called. The 70th week of Daniel. The last seven, which is not just weeks, but Daniel learned that they were years. The 490 years of prophecy in which God would fulfill his work. And that 70th week is chapter 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation. Last week we took Mark chapter 13 and showed you how in chronological order it lines up here with Revelation chapter 6. So as we read through the text, we're going to make reference to Mark chapter 13 that we took last week. But our focus this morning will be on Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3 and 24 to 27. You should have a study guide that gives you the literal translation and places for notes. Daniel 9, 24 to 27 is the main prophecy text of the Bible. We'll begin our reading in Revelation chapter 6 at verse 1. Now remember, the Lamb has come to take the scroll from the one sitting upon the throne. He's the only one who is worthy. And he comes and prepares to break the seals. And as he breaks each of the seven seals, a part of history is revealed. A part of prophecy is fulfilled. And as that prophecy is fulfilled, the 70th week of Daniel, the last seven-year period in God's time clock, is revealed. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one from out of the seals. And I heard one from the four living creatures saying, as the sound of thunder, come. And the text for the King James, Greek text says, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting upon it having a bow. And a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering, and in order that he might conquer. And when he opened the second seal, and by the way, verse 2 would parallel Mark chapter 13, verse 6. Mark 13, 6, Jesus said that the first thing that would happen, he says, beware that others will come upon the basis of my name, saying that they are the Christ. Don't believe it. And I'll show you why that parallels the white horse in a moment. So when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." And there went out another horse, red as fire. And there was given to him, the one sitting upon it, to take peace from the earth. And in order that they should kill, literally slaughter one another. And a great sword was given to him. This parallels Mark chapter 13, verse 7. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and nations will rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. Verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a black horse, and the one sitting upon it, having a balance scale in his hand. And I heard a voice in the middle of the four living creatures saying, "A koinex," that's a quart dry measure, "of wheat for a denarius." Denarius is a day's wage. 1 quart of dry measure of wheat for 1 day's wage. And 3 koinex. That is 3 quarts of dry measure of barley for a denarius, or a day's wage. And you should not hurt or harm the oil and the wine. That parallels Mark chapter 13, verse 8, where there would be famine upon the earth, shortage of food. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a green horse, and his name was Death. That's with the definite article. This is Mr. Death himself. And Hades was following with him. Hades is not hell. Hades is the place of the departed spirits, the unseen spirits. That's what Hades means. Now, that is not hell. The hell is the lake of fire. But Hades, that is where people go prior to the lake of fire, Hades was following with him. And authority was given to them, both death and Hades, to kill over a fourth part of the earth, to kill it in the sword and in hunger and in death and by the wild beasts of the earth. It's Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 10. Mark 13, 9 to 10. Because of the war, because of the famine, people begin to die. 25% of the people on the earth die. And death and Hades go around gathering up the dead to bring them into Sheol, or Hades, the place of unseen spirits. Now, in chronology, according to Mark chapter 13, that brings us right up to Mark chapter 13, verse 14. Because after telling them how that among the Jews would actually deliver their own family members over to be killed. This will be a time during the tribulation when the Antichrist will be ruling the one economic, political, and religious systems of the world. And to worship him means that you are in line to receive his number, to buy or sell. And if you don't worship his image and don't worship him, you're put to death. And a Jew will actually turn in his own brother. Even a father, his own children, will turn them over to be killed. But 3.5 years into the tribulation period, according to Mark 13, 14, will be what is called the abomination of desolation. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation set up in the Holy of Holies, flee to the mountains. All of this, all of prophecy involves or evolves around Israel. He says, pray that that this doesn't happen when you're pregnant or nursing a child, or even on the Sabbath day. They could only go 1,000 feet and they had to stop because of their own rules about keeping the Sabbath day. You better pray that you don't have to escape on the Sabbath day because your own rules mean that you go 1,000 feet and you sit down on the road and wait for Sabbath to be over. And you'll be picked up real quick. But he's telling them, flee to the mountains when you see this happen. And for the last 3.5 years of the what we call the tribulation period, after the Antichrist sets up his image in the Holy of Holies, which is called the abomination of desolation, then all heaven breaks loose with judgments that this world cannot even conceive of as happening for that 3.5 year period. Now, we know the chronological order that's in our text. The white horse, as I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, some people think the white horse is actually Jesus Christ, because in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ at his second coming comes on a white horse. But the differences are, number one, the Lord is the one who's breaking the seals. So he cannot be on this white horse coming back at the breaking of the first seal. Secondly, Jesus comes after the tribulation period, not before it, which this horse does. In our text, the rider has a bow, whereas in Revelation 19, the Lord has a sword. The crown, this rider has a crown, and it's called the Stephanos, the wreath. Whereas the crown upon the Lord in Revelation 19 are many crowns, and they're called the diadems, the royal crown. So the only thing that parallels is the color of horse. This is a completely different person, and it parallels the chronological order in Mark chapter 13 and Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21 that says the very first thing that's going to happen in this 70th week of Daniel is that the first seal will be broken and the Antichrist will be revealed on the scene. It's not Christ, it's the Antichrist. And he must come first. Then there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Then there will be famine and earthquakes and pestilences. And then there'll be massive death and burial. In that order. So the interpretation that this first horse, the white horse, comes out after the first seal, that it is the Antichrist, not only follows the teaching in Revelation that it's a different person, but it follows the chronological order of the prophecies in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke chapter 21. Now, turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Remember that both Ezekiel and Daniel have been carried away captive to Babylon. As Nebuchadnezzar raided Jerusalem 3 times, and on the 3rd time finally overcame the city, but Ezekiel and Daniel were carried away into captivity. Daniel wound up in town, captive in town, whereas Ezekiel wound up captive out by the river with the captives working the farmlands. Jeremiah also prophesied during their time, but he was a very, very old man, about my age. A very, very old man. In fact, he was so old that when Nebuchadnezzar came through for the 3rd time, he just left him there. Knew he was too old to travel. Both Daniel and Ezekiel had sat under Jeremiah's teachings for the time that they were there, but they were taken captive. And it is interesting because Daniel, while now in the city, he looks over some of Jeremiah's prophecies. They're in captivity. And Daniel chapter 9 says, in the first year of Dariavesh, as it is in Hebrew, Darius, and the son of Ahasuerus, from the seed or descendancy of the Medes, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the scrolls the number of years which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolations of Jerusalem. 70 years. He's reading through, and when he comes to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12, important text, Jeremiah 25, 12, he realizes that in prophecy, God said that you, the children of Israel, will be held captive for 70 years. So Daniel understands from these scriptures, 70 years were supposed to be in captivity, and he begins to count the numbers of years, and he finds out that we've been in captivity for 70 years. That it's about time for God's people to be released. So he begins to pray. And I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter, that is between verses 3 and 24. We'll be here all day. It's so good. But basically, take and read it because Daniel begins to pray. He begins to confess his sin and ask God to have mercy and bring his prophecy to pass. But not only does he pray for his own sin, but he prays for the sin of his people. You ever heard anybody do that? I've heard of a lot of people complain about leadership in churches, but have you ever known anybody to say, I got to pray for the sin of my church? I got to pray for my sin. I've got to pray for the sin of my family. I've got to pray for the sin of my church. God have mercy. Confession. Daniel began to confess his own sin, and he began to confess the sin of his people, interceding for them. But then as we get to verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9, that while he was speaking and praying and confessing his sin and the sin of his people Israel, that God sent Gabriel on a wing like a bird and swooped right in where Daniel was. And basically, Gabriel tells Daniel, as soon as you start praying, God answered your prayer. Time has been fulfilled. The sins of God's people will be forgiven. So he began to understand the matter and consider the vision. We begin at verse 24. 77s. Shavuim, Shavim. 77s. In our English text, it says 70 weeks because Daniel understood it to be 77s, but as he began to add things up, these 70 weeks, it couldn't be weeks because 70 weeks have already transpired. Literally in the Hebrew, it's just 77s. He took it to be weeks, but he realized that more than 70 weeks has transpired, that it makes reference to years. 77 or 490 years. He says 77s have been decreed or appointed upon your people and upon your holy city to restrain and hold back the transgression and to make or seal up sins and to make atonement for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. Seven things. Sin, transgression, and iniquity is going to be wiped out. Everlasting righteousness is going to be brought in. The vision and prophecy is to be sealed. And he's going to anoint the Holy of Holies, which is the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle. So he's seen it to be, after 490 years, here are the things that God's going to do, and he hasn't done it yet. He's made forgiveness for sins, but he hasn't closed it up. He hasn't sealed it. He hasn't done away with sin and iniquity and transgressions. He hasn't anointed the Holy of Holies. So in verse 25, it says, "Know and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Prince, shall be seven sevens and 60 and two sevens. The plaza will be built and the moat will be built even in troublesome times." Very interesting prophecy in verse 25. First of all, there's going to be three sections of sevens in this prophecy. The first two have been given to us. First of all, there will be seven sevens. That's 49 years. That's the first section of prophecy. And then there will be 62 sevens, or 434 years. At the end of the 62 sevens will be the end of 69 sevens, or 483 years, which is important to our understanding. He says in verse 26, "And after 60 and two sevens shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the coming prince," this is different than the Messiah who is the prince. The Messiah is going to be cut off, but the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood until the end of the war of desolations are determined. And they shall confirm, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. There's your third and 70th final seven. And halfway of the seven, he shall cause sacrifice and the offering to cease. And upon the wing of the temple, abominations shall make desolate, even until the consummation or the end, and the determined shall be poured out upon the one who is making desolate. We have three sections of Scripture. The first one is the first seven. Interesting, because when the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem from captivity to rebuild the temple and the city and the wall, it took 49 years, one section of seven. In troublesome times, mainly because when they went back, the Samaritans were already living there, and when they came back to rebuild the temple, they sent word back to Babylon saying, they're rebuilding their city here. So Babylon authorities say, yes, we know. We've said that they can go back and do that. Well, do you know that if they become independent and set up their city again, they're not going to pay you taxes or anything? So they sent a letter saying, halt, you know? And then later on, they began to build, got permission to build the temple again because they said, you don't have to worry about it. We're just here to reestablish our buildings. So then the Samaritans came back to them and said, we want to help you. And they said, no. Samaritans will not defile our city. So the Samaritans got mad. And the Samaritans came up against the Jews who were building the city. Now all of a sudden there's a war going on between these two factions. And so the putting off of the building of the city is put off again. And after all that is over, the people look at all this stockpile of wood and all the things that they're going to need to rebuild the temple. And they look at each other and they say, you know, we just had a war and you know, since we've been back, we haven't rebuilt our homes. So they took the materials that were supposed to be for the temple and they rebuilt their homes. Well, you can imagine, now they've got the Lord mad, angry. And the materials that they were supposed to use for the temple aren't there, and they used them to do their own homes first. So there's another delay. So all told, there was 49 years that it took them to rebuild the temple and the wall of the city. After the 49 years, the prophecy says there will be 62 sevens, in 434 years. And that after those 62 sevens added to the seven sevens, you have 69 sevens, or 483 years. The text says that after the 62 sevens are completed, which gives us a total of 69 sevens, that Messiah will be cut off. That's his crucifixion. 483 years. The text says from the time the word is given for the restoration and rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, from that time, on that day, 483 years later, Messiah will be crucified. An exact measurement of time. Well, there's two approaches to this. Artaxerxes was the one in charge that said, let him go back and rebuild. But he sent back, actually, at two different times, Artaxerxes in 458 B.C., sent Ezra back to rebuild the city. And for those who follow this chronological time frame, using a 365-day calendar, which the Jews didn't use, but Babylon did, from 458 BC, using a 365-day calendar, 483 years takes us to the baptism of John the Baptist. So many believe that they're using the 458 date as the first time that the word goes out to rebuild the city on a 365-day calendar. It takes us right to the ministry of John the Baptist baptizing in the wilderness, and they just kind of glump the 3 years of the Lord's ministry into that. It's kind of like the Lord's ministry began at this time, and for 3 years until his death. Another approach to this is when Artaxerxes sent Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. He did this on March 14th, 445 BC. March 14th, 445 BC. And if you use a 360-day calendar, it's called the prophetic calendar, which the Jews used. 483 years comes out to April 6th, 32 AD, the very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. To the day. And what is so special about that? I mean, what do we go by? Are we going to go by the 360-day calendar and the first time that somebody was sent out? We have to deal with one text. It's Luke chapter 19, verse 42. Luke 19:42, where Jesus, when he was riding into Jerusalem, he stopped and he wept over Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, had you known this your day, you would have known it was fulfilled in your ears, but it was hidden from you. Greek text emphasizes and presents a very special day, not just any day, this your day. In other words, the Lord was saying, if you had your calculators out, and you were counting 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC, you'd come out April 6th, 32 AD. You should have known that whoever rides in and dies on this date is the Messiah. But Jesus said it was hidden from you. It's interesting how the Lord's mathematics work out exact. So verse 26 says that after the 62 sevens, Messiah is cut off. The temple will be destroyed. This happened in 70 AD. The Lord was crucified in 32 AD. In 70 AD, Titus the Roman general came in and he didn't want to tear down the temple, but the Jews decided to hide in there and bar the doors shut, and so the soldiers got so angry they set the temple on fire. And all of the gold from the roof and all the outside ornaments, all the gold melted and ran down in the cracks of the stones. And so the people inside died. But after that was all over, in order to get the gold, they had to take the stones down one by one. Hence, as Jesus said, and we saw last week in Mark 13, because the disciples say, "Lord, Lord, look at these humongous stones, 50 feet long." The Lord said, "Not one stone will be upon stone that will not be fall down to the earth. All the stones are going to be on the ground." That happened in 70 AD. But then in verse 27, it says that the prince that is to come, he is going to confirm or establish a covenant with the people for 1 week. 1:7. So on the week that Jesus died, that completed the 69 sevens, the last seven will not start until the Antichrist, the prince that is to come, is to sign an agreement with all the nations. He will protect them. But then verse 27 says, half of the seven, half of the week. So in the middle of the week, that's 3.5 years. At the 3.5 year point, after he's everybody under contract and he's getting all the world systems to be together as one and everybody's saying, we've got the one world leader that's unifying everybody, this is great. At the 3.5 year point, this is after he has helped the Jews rebuild their temple in Jerusalem and they've already started sacrifices in Jerusalem, he walks in and he causes the offerings and the sacrifices to cease. And he sets up his image in the Holy of Holies. And that is the abomination of desolation. Abomination is that which is despicable. To put his image in the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwells. There's nothing in there but God. And he turns on the world. He says, if you want to buy or sell, you have to have my number. But in order to get my number, you have to worship me. This is not a thing that you just go down to the grocery store or the bank and get a number. You literally have to worship his image. When you worship his image, then you can get a number in order to function in the economic system. And of course, we're going to find out later on in Revelation that there will be angels, messengers sent to tell people, don't take the mark. Because once you take the mark, you permanently belong to Satan. But rather believe the gospel. And the gospel is going to be proclaimed by 144,000 Jews that are sealed as well as angels. They'll be telling people, stop, don't take the mark. But if they don't take the mark, then they're put to death. So, you come across someone that says, I know I need to receive the Lord to be saved, but I think I'll do it later. You might want to mention to them what later's going to be. It's a little more convenient now to surrender your life to Christ than it is then. But there's your timeline. The 70th week of Daniel, the last week of sevens. You see, there's a 69 sevens, and there's a time period that's just blank. And the last seven-year period does not start until the Antichrist signs and confirms a covenant with all the people. So, when the white horse comes on the scene, and he shows up, he makes agreement with the nations, that's the beginning of the last 7 years that we call the period of tribulation. At the beginning of that time, before the abomination of desolation takes place, there will be the revelation of the Antichrist. There will be wars and rumors of wars because there will be some people that will balk at the one world leader. So there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Then there's going to be famine because of the wars. Then there's going to be death. Now, all of this has to take place in order for the whole world system to become unorganized under the one world leader. So in Revelation chapter 6, we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten halfway yet. These first four seals reveal the first four stages that take place in this last seven-year period. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Please note the three separate seven-year periods, the seven sevens, the 62 sevens, and then the final 1 7-year period. And also note that all prophecy has to do with the Jews, not the Gentiles and not the church. It's all centered around the Jews, the Hebrew people. Next week, we're going to pick up in Revelation chapter 6 at verse 9, and we'll start breaking the rest of the seals. And as we get further on, we'll get to chapter 7, all six seals are going to be broken in Daniel 9, and then before the seventh seal is broken, we have a one-chapter parenthesis of events that take place before the seventh seal is broken. And then we have the seven bowl judgments, and then we have the seven trumpet judgments, all proceeding from as soon as the seventh seal is broken. So there are major events about ready to take place, and everything that Daniel prophesied and everything that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 is given to us in detail in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. You can kind of see how all of this fits together and the fact that the Lord's time clock, he is exact in his design. Even the things that we're hearing now about Israel and invading Gaza and the Hamas and the Fatah parties, everything that's going on is a precursor to the one world leader. All of us, including the United States, but all the United Nations, are just scrambling around trying to find a way to bring everybody under one, to bring peace, safety. But the text tells us, once people say, oh, finally peace and safety, we got the one world leader, then destruction is going to come. Then judgment will come. Helps us understand what's happening in our day. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us in our limited understanding, in our limited vision, as we go through this earthly pilgrimage. We're so sensitive to our own era and day in history, our own circumstances and situations. But help us to see that all the events of the world is just a bringing about of that which is designed by you to take place that we are in the time of the Gentiles when the city of Jerusalem is overrun and we're in the time of the Gentiles. But one day the Antichrist will be revealed and he will sign a covenant with many, and then the last seven of Daniel's sevens will begin. Help us to see that all of the world and even our own country and its people and its government is all being arranged to come under the one world ruler. We pray that as we see these things happening, Jesus said, as you see these things happening, know that your salvation is near. And as we use the Word of God as a barometer to the world, as to guide its actions, we're not to be trusting the actions of the world and the things that are taking place, but rather be honoring you, that your word is true, and to trust Jesus Christ, who is holding all things together and causing all things to come to pass. We thank you that we're on your side, you're on our side. We thank you that even though we struggle with the economy, the political situation, even the religious situation, circumstances of the world as they continue to come to fruition and even affect the believers in Christ, that we can trust you and rejoice, because seeing these things happen is, as Jesus said in Mark 13, is the beginning of sorrows, just the beginning. The great judgment is to come, as Jesus said, as the world has not seen since the creation of the world. We're so thankful that we are your children. Teach us to trust you, to not be burdened down because of the world situation, but rather just to trust Christ. To be slow in reaction to the world and at the same time remain under, trusting the Lord to sustain us through, that one day we will be with you in glory, so there'll be no more death, no more hardship or sickness, just peace with Christ. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.